Hallelujah. She's going to look for that text message because I want to read it because it's a lot of promises, and it also pertains to the church, you know, because there's a lot of promises I said that I was going to do as a pastor, as a brother, as a friend. And, you know, I told her that at the beginning of 20, at the end of 25, I said, when we come into 26, these are the things that I want. Just change. You got to make change. You got to set standards. You got to do all those things. And we already 20 something days into this month. And you know, first of all week, he's been dealing with me heavy all week. I mean, been like really dealing with me every single day. I don't care if it was the morning drive or it was the evening drive or at home, whatever it was. He was dealing with, and he reminded me of this text message I sent to her at the end of December. And we 20 something days in, and we haven't really put it into motion. And I was like, oh boy. So I said, you remember this? You remember this? This week, right, when he's dealing with me. She's like, yeah, I didn't want to say nothing because I didn't want to put too much pressure on you, this and that or whatever. And I said, well, it's time. I said, it's time. I have to start putting this into motion. I didn't say it just to say it. It meant something to me, and it means something to the Father, so I have to do it. And before I read that, she made a statement how we messed up, you know, finances, whatever, anything you want to think. And that all, that's just a cause and effect of your misbehavior, your disobedience, your walking out of your calling. You can all that, you can put all that into it, and that's just a direct effect of it. So when she said that, I'm just going to jump down to this one quick note that I put. Because even though your life's a mess, even though your finances is crazy, your mindset's still a little squirrely, you're trying to, you know, get everything back together, it still doesn't neglect your calling. And it's somewhere in here, but it says your calling precedes comfort. Your calling precedes your comfort. Yeah, it's not comfortable right now, but that don't stop your calling that's on your life. Right. He still called you to do that, and he still called you to do what he called you to do, period. No ifs, ands, buts about it. And boy, all this week as he's dealing with me and like just telling me things and putting it in my spirit, and I was like, okay, Brother Marcel hit the nail on the head. Family meeting. Family meeting. This is what today is. This is a family. Every single Shabbat is a family meeting, in case y'all haven't noticed. And he established that in the garden. He said he said that in order, quick, fast, and in a hurry. Family. Why? Because it says when he was walking, he said they heard his voice like the cool of the day walking throughout the garden. Every day he met with Adam and Eve. Every single day he met with them. But before I get into that song, we're going to talk about settled, which Brother Scott started on in that Bible study, then he hit it last night about settle, and I'm going to hit that same settle. Basically, I'm going to read 1 through 12 again, but just touch on 11 and 12, because there's two words in there I want to talk about, settle and bread, which hence the bread right here. And look, I'm telling you, this is how he dealt with me all week, just giving me little stuff. He even had me, I don't even know if I'm going to do it, but he put it in my mind too, because he wants me to run. And I don't know. I'm a sweat, y'all. I'm a snot. I'm a cry. Today is very, very emotional. Because you know why? This is where it all started. It all started right here for me and her and my family. And it also all started with the chaos that was in here when the chaos hit. Right behind here. Doing this very thing what I'm doing today when chaos hit. So it all starts right here with him. But that song says this is the moment where everything turns. Today, everything turns for me and my family. I'm leaving this building settled with everything. First of all, he had this, him dealing with me all week was selling things because you still don't want to say things. You're like, you know, you're reading a scripture, and you're like, oh, wow, yeah, I'm going to say this. And then you're like, well, how can I say that when you just did what you did 3 years ago? You know, so I had to settle a whole bunch of stuff. Because, look, I'm going to say things that I'm going to reference myself as Pastor Josh. And that's hard for me to do. Family meeting, right? I'm being honest. Being honest, that's hard. When I hear the elders say, Pastor Josh, we love you, it's hard. It's difficult because you know where you failed at. To me, it's just, to me, it just wasn't supposed to, but it did. It happened, and you know, you can't take that back. You just move forward. But that right there, this is the moment where everything turns today. Didn't think I would see it. It was hard to believe. Heaven crashes to earth. Next one. I've read the stories of all that you've done. That right there, I've read the stories of all that you've done. I'm going through these, putting the message together. And I'm like, you know, when you have to settle a bunch of things in your life, and you got to settle when there's things you did, but even though you walk completely contrary to what he said, you still don't, his word is true, no matter what, you got to say it. So, you know, he had to settle a bunch of things in my life for me to even speak this morning. He says, parted the sea, set captives free. Never thought I'd be one. Never in a million years would I thought I would have been one. After him putting me in this position. I am a living, breathing, walking testimony. I am a living proof of what Jehovah has done. You know, I was trying to find stories. I'm like, okay, I'm going to find stories that if you're not, you got to be careful what you get settled in first. You get settled in his word, you can get settled in other things. And you think it is, you know, you're doing good, or you think everything's okay, and you're settling some wrong stuff, some wrong areas that you got to be careful. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to put some stories in here that, you know, we see that Joseph was settled in where he was at, and it just proved the life he lived, his family coming to him, and everything he'd done for him, he was settled with a bunch of things, because he couldn't have done what he was supposed to do if he wasn't settled with it, first of all, because he's a foreshadow of Messiah. So you can't be a foreshadow of Messiah and be squirrely. He was settled. So I'm like, okay, so we're talking about Joseph, we're definitely in Genesis 47, but then I'm going to show him what, when you're not settled in Yahweh, a story of what goes on, I mean, what can happen, the outcome of things. Then he says, this morning, up there in that office, he says, he didn't say that, you know, those words, but he said, well, what about your life? You a testimony of when you're not settled in Yehovah, what the outcome could be. Look at you. Look what happened to you when you wasn't settled. He said, let that be the story. You don't need a story from out the Bible. The people want real life stuff. And look, we know things happen in the Bible. Because it's his word. He wouldn't have put it there. So we know the fall that different men have. He said, but you use your fall. He said, you don't put that in there. Let your story, let your life be the story of what not to do when you're not settled in his word. So I was like, okay, well, fine. I'll mention it. I'll leave it like that. I'm not going to put nothing else in there but my life. So I am a living proof of what Yehovah has done. That's good, sister. I just wanted to. Oh, no, well, let's go. May call it crazy, but they can't take away my story. And I tried to pass this on so many times, especially this week. Like she said, when Pastor called us in that office last week, I knew what time of day it was. And he didn't say, hey, you going to speak. He left it up to me. He said, you do what you want. He said, you can either speak or you can let one of the other brothers speak. And instantly I knew. Nah, I put this in my notes. It says, it is not up to other people. It's up to you. That's right. So, straight off the back, the very first thing I put right here, well, besides the family meeting, beginning the garden and every Shabbat. And it's like reading a will when we come here on Shabbat morning. It's like reading a will. It's like taking this right here. Because everything in here is, if you do something, you get blessed. If you do what, not something, if you do what he tells you to do, if you walk in straight obedience, you're blessed. It's a will. That's what this is, a will. You know, you want, I've never been called to that type of family meeting. I ain't never had, you know, to where my dad is going to leave me or my mom is going to leave me X amount of things, because they don't have X amount of things. They got very little. But, just could imagine how you got big families that's got a lot of money. So they have to have a will. And this is what this is. This is like the Father's, when we come here on Shabbat morning, is this a will being read of what you, the blessings I put on your life if you just do what I called you to do or do what I asked you to do. And not just saying that you're going to come up, you know, you're going to do it perfectly. You're not going to do it perfectly. Only one man did it perfectly. If that's the case, we wouldn't need this. If we could do it, we wouldn't need meetings. If we can do it all perfectly. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, I know you're going to have mistakes. I know you're going to have failures and fall. He said, but that doesn't define you. That didn't define them. Listen, they didn't give up. They straight off the bat, Joseph told him when he went to Pharaoh, he said there, what he said the occupation was? Shepherds. Don't hide from your identity. That's your identity. That's who you are. That's who he made you to be. You're a shepherd. We are shepherds. We're the same. We have a role to do. So we'll go ahead and I want to start off with Proverbs 3. I'm going to read the whole chapter, 1 through, I don't know, 30, 35. Because you say, why Proverbs? Because it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all. Joseph, we're in the story of Joseph. Joseph had to trust in Yehovah with all his heart. Listen, 17 years old. Can you imagine 17 years old being betrayed by your family? Your own brothers, your own siblings? Thrown in the pit? There's not much trust there in your family. But Joseph, he trusted in the Lord with all, because he went from the pit to prison and then to a palace. And he did not waver. He stayed focused. He stayed the course. And that's why I'm wondering. He said, my son, verse 1, do not forget my Torah and let your heart watch over my commandments. Okay, now, I had a little issue with that because he says, let your heart. And we know the scripture says the heart's deceitful above all. It says, don't trust the heart. But yet the Father's telling me, my son, do not forget my Torah and let your heart, what heart? This heart that he gave you. He says, let that heart watch over my commandments. Why? He said, because he knows if that heart is watching over those commandments with everything in you, you're gonna walk like he walked, you're gonna talk like he walked, you're gonna act like he act, you're gonna do all those things. He says, for why? Why he wants you to do them? For length of days and long life and peace they add to you. Now, Brother Scott mentioned about the lifespan. 70-something for a woman or something. And men, I don't know, maybe, not. I don't even think it was 80, right? 75 and 81 for a woman. But how many know we can prove that statistic wrong if we follow his command? Why? Because he says, for length of days are long, life and peace they add to you. Let not loving commitment and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Thus finding favor and good insight in the eyes of Elohim and man. Joseph found good favor in the eyes of Elohim and man. You say how he found it? How he found it? The man, he was the second in command right underneath Pharaoh. To where he started making laws and, you know, setting laws into motion, saying, boom, this is the law. Joseph did. Joseph, you read it in the story. So he definitely found favor. The whole everything up in that providence was Joseph. He had say over every single thing except when Pharaoh was in the throne. And in his seat or whatever, in the chariot, wherever he was at. That's the only time Pharaoh override Joseph. Other than that, Joseph had complete say so. So I would say, yeah, he had favor with Elohim and man. I would say he did. Trust in Yehovah with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Know him in all your ways, and he makes all your paths straight. He makes all your paths straight. The only time your paths get a little crooked and squirrely is when you're out of his will, is when you're doing something you're not supposed to. But good thing for the set apart spirit, because that'll reel you back in. Nice and slow. Or sometimes it's real fast, he'll reel you back in. So I'm thankful for the set apart spirit. So thankful. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yehovah and turn away from evil. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Look, what a will. What a will we're reading this morning. Don't be wise in your, don't trust your eyes. Because right when you think you're doing it, like you're on the right path and yeah, of course, yeah, this is the way I need to go. Yeah, I made a mistake. He didn't mean to put me in as a pastor. Ain't no way. But he says, be careful, do not be wise in your own eyes and fear him and turn away from evil. It is healing to your navel and moistening to your bones. Well, I thought these doctors and all, you know, the term is, you know, bone. I mean, milk. Milk's good for the body. Milk does the body good. Strengthens your bones. Too much milk, they say now, they say it weakens your bones. So either it strengthens or it weakens. But I'm going to tell you what his word tells me. It moistens to your bones. His word, healing to your navel. It says, esteem Yehovah with your goods and with the first fruit of all your increase. Meaning if he's giving you plenty, be a blessing. Be a blessing to somebody. I'm going to read how Yaakov blessed Pharaoh. Look, he blessed him two times. He blessed him when he entered, and he blessed him going out. All that is powerful, so powerful. So he says, you know, bless him. Don't just hold all your goods for you. It's not just for you. The fruit's not for you. How many times we heard that? The fruit's not for us. The fruit's for somebody else. Be a blessing. And when you could, then what happens when you blessing? Your storehouses shall be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. Your storehouse, you say, well, man, if he's giving me all this and I start passing it out like candy, what am I going to have left over for me? Listen, look what he says. Then your storehouses will be filled with plenty to where we can't outgive him. Not even in the slightest. And then what he says, because every day I'm going to give you something new. Every day is going to be something new for you. New wine. You give. Don't hold that old stuff. You got to get rid of it because I got something new for you that I'm trying to give you. But if you hold on to that old stuff, guess what? The new stuff ain't coming. The new stuff is going to stay on the shelf. It's going to wait for it. Because look, he's not going to give it to nobody else because he ordained it for you. He appointed it for you. So I want that new wine. I want to be a blessing to somebody else. I fell so short. Help me, Father. A new beginning. Maybe we want to leave that first slide up. New beginnings. That hit me hard this morning. My son, do not despise the discipline of Yehovah and do not loathe his reproof. What he's saying, he said, love it. If the Father's disciplining you, love it. Accept it, because he's not disciplining you to hurt you. He's not disciplining you to break you. He's not disciplining you to make you look stupid, to make you look foolish. He's disciplining you because he loves you. He loves you that much. He cares about every single thing you do in life, every single thing you do. For whom Yah loves, he reproves. As a father, the son whom he delights in. In verse 13, blessed is the man who has found wisdom and the man who gets understanding. What he considered, now we, you know, to us, blessed is, you know, you see somebody with a lot of money, big house, nice boy, he must be doing good. He's blessed. The Father is really blessing him. But that's not what he calls blessed. What he says, wisdom and understanding. That's what I call blessed. This stuff that's going to fade away. Look, this will never fade. Wisdom and understanding don't fade away. It's always there. For the gain from it is better than gain from silver, and it increases than fine gold. I think I missed one little statement. It says in my family meeting, there was three things I listed, and one of them was it's increased more than gold, because that's where I got that one verse from, and I was like, well, I'm just going to read. I read the whole chapter. I'm like, well, I'm going to read the whole chapter because Joseph, we're in the life of Joseph, and this right here fits the model perfect for Joseph's life. She is more precious than rubies, and all your delights are not comparable to her. Length of days is in her right hand, riches and esteem in her left hand. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those taking hold of her, and blessed are all who retain her. You have to retain it. There's no way we can retain everything I'm going to say today, but we have CDs and we have all that on for a reason. You go back and listen to it. Yes. Go back and listen to it once, twice, as many times as it takes for you to retain it, because that's what he's telling you. You retain wisdom. You retain understanding. You got to hold on to that. Look, we retain a bunch of stuff, a whole lot of stuff that make no sense, that has no value to our life. Why? Yeah, because look, I can say that because I lived it for 3 years. 3 years. I was retaining stuff that had no value to my life. I walked away from the thing that has the most value in this throughout this whole earth. Yehovah founded the earth by wisdom. He established the heavens by understanding. Now, what in the world would want to make, I ain't going to say us, I'm going to say me. What in the world makes me think that the creator of the heavens, who founded the earth by wisdom and who established the heavens by understanding, don't know what's better for my life? Look at what this scripture says. The creator, Yehovah, founded the earth and established the heavens. So you think he can't put you in the path that he wants you to go? By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Watch over sound wisdom and discretion. Watch over sound wisdom and discretion. Then they become life to your being and adorning to your neck. Then you would walk safely in your way and your foot would not stumble. Wisdom and understanding does what to you? It says, then you will walk safely in your way. In what way? In the path that he chose for you. And your foot will not. It might. Or might stumble, it says. No. If you're retaining wisdom, if you're retaining understanding, he says your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you do not be afraid. And you shall lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. Oh, hallelujah. Because look, tonight, I can promise you, my sleep will be sweet tonight. I ain't lying, because I ain't had a good night's sleep in a very, very, very long time. Years. Years. Not because of, you know, him, because of me, my own self. But tonight, it's going to be sweet. I can't wait. I'm telling you, I can't wait. It's probably going to be on the sofa. My wife going to be mad, but that's where it's going to start at. I ain't going to lie. But it's going to be sweet, and I can't wait for a while, because I'm doing, finally, settling some things and doing what he's asking me to do. Amongst all my, you know, stuff still going on. Yeah, the enemy's still going to try to beat you up. But we don't have to listen to it. We know better. We know better, but sometimes we still do the stupidness. But if we grab on, if we retain the goodness, his wisdom, his understanding, yeah, we're going to sleep. Sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden dread, nor of the ruin of the wrongs when it comes. For Yehovah is at your side, and he shall guard your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power of your hand to do so. Do not withhold good. Now, we can all talk about the whole money thing when he's talking about blessing and don't hold good. But listen, when he's downloading word to you, when he's called you to be to minister, everybody in here is called a minister, first of all. Let's just get that out. Put that up there in the air just because, you know, these guys and myself and Brother Chad and everybody got ordained to do that, that's you know, that's all fine and dandy, but everyone has their own ministry. I'm not going to meet the people Sister Connie meet. I'm not going to talk to the people Bella and or Brother Rob or Alec and Kelsey or none of them meet. They have a life. We have a life. You still call a minister. You still call to spread the good news. That's what he's telling you. Don't withhold good. Listen, we full up with good up in here because we get the word every single Shabbat. We get his truth every single Shabbat. We get his truth every Wednesday night, every Friday night. So we have a lot of good stored up. We should be storing up, retaining it, and also giving it to others, like he says right here. Don't hold it back. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I give it, when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor, seeing he dwells safely beside you. And just to talk about that 28, when it says, do not say to your neighbor, come and go back, and tomorrow I give it. When somebody comes to you and say, hey, I need prayer. Our favorite thing wants to be, okay, well, oh, somebody say, hey, pray for me, and then they want to walk away. And even you might say, okay, I'll pray for you tonight or whatever. No. Do it on the spot. We got to settle. Today we're selling a bunch of stuff. Look, do it on the spot. Don't put it off for tomorrow, because you don't know if tomorrow's going to come for that man or that lady or that child, whatever, whoever it might be. You don't know. They're not promised. You're not promised tomorrow. And you don't want to miss that opportunity. You want your last opportunity to be, okay, I'll do it later, and later never comes. No, I don't want to. I'm going to hurry up and read this, because then I want to read that text message. Do not plan evil against your neighbor, seeing he dwells safely beside you. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no evil. Do not envy a cruel man, and choose none of his ways. Do not envy a cruel man, or make sure, don't choose none of his ways. Why you want evil ways of a evil man? I don't want those things, man. I'm trying to get rid of the ones I already have. Because, I mean, yeah, you can get squirreled up in the head, somebody do you something, you quick to want to return the favor. You know, if I ain't going to, you know, you're going to slap me, I'm supposed to turn the cheek? No, Lord. That's the first thing that want to pop up in your mind. That's what I'm saying, you know. And maybe sometimes we put it into action. I don't know. Who knows? Family meeting, right? Family meeting. I love family meetings. I think that should be our title of every Shabbat, family meeting. Because, listen, if you can't be honest with your family, who are you going to be honest with? You got to be honest with the family, man. Have to be. This is the stuff he dealt with me all week. Because of my text message. If I said all these, I sent this to her, but how many know he's seen it? Matter of fact, he even knew it before I sent it. Brother Scott read a message to where, a scripture, I think it was in, something, 139. You know how he formed you? He knew you before you even was formed. He had your days written out before you was even thought about. Way back in Joseph's days, he was thinking about Pastor Josh, Brother Chad, Papa Stopper, every single one that's in this place, he was thinking about us. For the perverse one is an abomination to Yehovah, and his secret counsel is with the straight. The curse of Yehovah is on the house of the wrong, but he blesses the home of the righteous. Amen. I want a righteous home. I don't want a home that's always talking negative, you know, or gossiping. It's so easy to get involved and so easy to get sucked up into that. But I want a righteous home. Like my brother said, I want a home that, you know, that speaks life. Because that's what the Torah is all about. Torah is all about life. It's all about preserving life. He certainly scoffed the scoffers, but gives favor to the humble. The wise do inherit esteem, but fools are bearing away a shame. This passage right here, I put a little note underneath. It says, blessing flows from Yah's covenant. That's right. Blessing flows from Yah's covenant. So you want to be blessed, but he's not going to bless us if we're not in covenant with him. He's not going to bless us if we're walking contrary to his word. We can forget it. We can lie to ourselves all we want. You know, and that's what the enemy to do. That's what the enemy does to you. He did it with Eve. Did Yah really say? Did he really say? But let me read this text right quick. It says, "Good morning, my queen." I'm just going to, hey, family meeting. I'm just going to read it. In less than 24 hours, we are going into year 2026. This is our year. This is our year. And I don't mean that to take away from any one of y'all. Y'all better claim this our year for yourself, because I'm claiming it for me and mine. I'm like Joshua said, that's for me and my house. We're going to serve Yehovah. So I'm claiming it. I says, this is our year. We will lead like we never led before. We will preach like we never preached before. We will study like we never studied before. We will pray like we never prayed before. We will speak into people's lives like we never spoken before. We will pastor like we never pastored before. We will shepherd like we never shepherded before. We will serve like we never served before. We will fall in love with his word like we never fell in love with it before. We seek his guidance like we never seeked before. We will worship like we never worshiped before. We will speak into our kids and their better halves like never have before. Our year, we will have a better financial plan. We will be able to bless others without doubt. Because, you know, that's a big, you know, problem or in your mind. Even if the Father's asking you to give everything that you have. But when you got little and he's asking you to give, is you doubt. Are you sure? Are you sure, Father? You want me to give my last 100, my last 1,000, my last whatever? Because I don't have nothing else. Well, if you're telling me to give it, I don't have nothing else. So you doubt. You're contemplating. Should I give? Should I not give? Should I give? Should I not? And you contemplate yourself right out of the blessing. We will walk in his calling like we have never walked before. I will be a better son, better daughter, better sister. No, we will be a better son, better daughter, better sister, better brother, better uncle, better aunt, better nephew, better niece, better godparents, better friends than we have been before. We will be better co-workers than we were before. We will love and respect each other like we never did before. Unrecognizable. Our year, but all his doing. He will do this so we can give him all the glory and honor to impact the lives of others all over, not just our community. Wherever we go, we will expect encounters. Excited to be all in again with you. Love you. Our years, his year, we just say yes to him. And I meant that. I meant it, and I'm glad that all this week when he was dealing with me, he reminded me of that. Because like I said, here we are 20-something days in, and I really haven't stepped into those words that I said I was going to do at the end of December. But this is the moment where everything turns. Today. The highest Torah value is life preservation. Preservation, P-R-E-S-E-R, to preserve. You know, to preserve, life to preserve. That's the highest Torah value. It says, Elohim's ongoing act of keeping his creation, his word, and his people safe from destruction, decay, and evil ensuring his purposes are fulfilled through his sovereignty and faithfulness. Encompassing physical sustenance, spiritual protection, like guarding from temptation, and the miraculous safeguarding of scriptures, meaning across centuries. Now we see in the story of Yosef, the whole story, it says Egypt preserves life temporarily. That's what Egypt was doing. It was preserving life temporarily. Sorry. But guess what? Messiah grants eternal life. He gives you eternal life. Oh, here's the in verses 1 through 6, is identity before provision. Israel presented as shepherd. Joseph did not hide their identity. He did not try to make them out something it's not what they're supposed to be. They were shepherds. So he wasn't trying to hide. He wasn't trying to make his family. You know, we do that. We see somebody who's got, you know, we might be in, who can I use? Not in the church. I'm talking about like somebody with authority, who has an authority. You know, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, let's use Trump. Why not? go with the big guns, huh? You know, you say, just think of it. You bringing your family to meet Trump. Say you met Trump already. He's your pal. Your fist bump a little bit, and he wants to meet your family. Bring your family over. So you know, you bringing your family over, and what am I going to tell Trump when he asks about my family? What am I going to say? What they do? Oh, my dad is an oyster fisherman. Like, this man owns multi-million-dollar companies. What do you think he's worried about, an oyster fisherman? Yeah, doesn't matter, though, because don't hide your identity. Yours is it, shepherds. That's what my dad is. That's what my dad's dad was. That's what his dad was. It's just what we do. We're shepherds. Listen, little did he know, Yosef didn't know, but Yehovah was lining that all up, because after he told him he was shepherds, and after he got the ark, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but it is what it is. He says, where's these, you got some capable men? To do what? He needed somebody to watch his cattle and his sheep that he just inherited from the whole providence. He had a lot. So you mean to tell me this Pharaoh, king, and all his people, he didn't have 5 good men out of that whole providence to watch over his? Loyalty. He was looking for loyalty, honesty, people who was going to be obedient. Because why? He's seen that in Yosef from day one. He said, if Yosef is like that, surely his brothers. Now, he don't know the little squirrelness that came to the brothers that got Yosef to where he's at. He didn't know his own brothers threw him in the pit. I don't know. They don't sound like very capable men to me or honest. When your own brother threw you in the pit, but Yosef. Look, Yosef was settled again, because he could have said, man, you don't want my brothers. You're a Pharaoh. Man, you don't want them dudes. I've been here for I don't know how many years now. I see a couple other guys you might want to use besides my brothers. They threw me in the pit. They lied to my daddy. They lied to your daddy. You think they're not going to lie to you, Pharaoh? But no. Yosef said, I'm not going to hide my identity. They're shepherds. Pharaoh said, okay, we can use that. Give me 5 good ones. No rebranding for acceptance. No rebranding. He didn't say there was something else so Pharaoh could accept them. They're shepherds. And here's the calling precedes comfort. I mentioned that a little while ago. When we reject Yah's call, when we not interested in the path he has laid out for us, we end up in spiritual exile. I'm going to read that one more time. When we reject Yah's call, when we're not interested in his path, for some reason, you know, we think that we know a better path. He has laid out for us and then we end up in spiritual exile from that statement, from not doing what he calls you to do, from not staying on the course he put you on. Meaning, what does that mean? You will not be where Yah wants you to be. He didn't want them in Egypt. But because of disobedience, because of, you know, thinking you can do what you want to do, how you want to do, you his chosen people, first of all. He chose Israel. Just like he chose us. So when we find ourselves in spiritual exile, you can best believe it's not where we're supposed to be at. It's not where he wants us to be at. This whole Genesis 47 teaches us how to survive exile without surrendering destiny. Because that wasn't his destiny to put him there. So he had to, you know, all that had to take place, but his destiny was to get him out of there and get him into that promised land where he wanted them to be. Let me read Genesis 47. Read all the way to 11 and 12, because that's the two verses that I want to talk about the most. And let me tell you how the enemy, even how he works, you know, because we never talk. He never asks, oh, what you're studying or where you're headed or what you're thinking about going or whatever. None of that. Not one time we talk. And then here he goes up in Bible study. He talks about settle. And I'm like, oh, man, he's taking my stuff. Instantly, that's in my mind. Oh, man. Not what I'm going to talk about. Settle. Okay, so he didn't mention bread, so that's the good thing. So I got the bread to talk about, but settle. He talked on settle. I'm talking on settle. It's all the same. Whatever. I'm like, well, man, the enemy's, okay, you can't talk. Now what you going to do? Listen, sometimes we got to hear things twice because it's very important. Amen. Very important. Now, we don't say the same thing. We don't reference the same scripture. But just that little thing right there, the enemy will get to you if you let him. But I didn't let him because I was settled. And especially after that song right there this morning, I knew, well, yeah, this is where we're going. Ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. Oh, right here. 47 verse 1. It says, then Joseph went and spoke to Pharaoh and said, my father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds and all that they possess have come from the land of Canaan. And see, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Now, I never really dug into that, but I'm pretty sure there's some meaning behind that because he said he chose five. What five did he choose? It doesn't specifically says, you know, he chose the first five that was born or the last five. It just said he chose five. Now, how Joseph determined what five to take to bring to Pharaoh, man, that's on him. He knows. He knows them very well. They put me in the pit. They sold me. So I know which one to bring and probably which one not to bring. But we all know they had a change of heart. Every last one of them. They stepped into their calling. 12 tribes of Israel. They named after the 12 tribes of Israel. Each one of them is named after the 12 tribes of Israel. The land of Mishraim is before you. And Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Mizraim is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know of capable men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock. And Joseph brought in his father Yaakov and set him before Pharaoh. And Yaakov blessed Pharaoh. As soon as he presented his dad before Pharaoh, Yaakov blessed him. Why? Because Yaakov is now, him too, is finally fulfilling his calling because his name is Yisrael. Yisrael. Listen, we're called to bless. He's being a blessing to Pharaoh. Off the top, he's blessing him off the top. And Pharaoh said to Yaakov, how old are you? And Yaakov said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not reached the days of the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their sojourning. Now, in that statement right there, when he says, and Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my sojourning are 130 years, few and evil. Now, that doesn't mean, when he makes that statement of evil, he doesn't mean that he was a horrible man, you know, killing people or just downright dirty. What he's saying right here, if you think about it in the spiritual sense, he's saying, my days are few and evil. The evil part is the days that I chose not to be in his will, not to walk out in the covenant that he made for me. That's my evil days. Every time I fell short, that's my evil days. Not because he was, you know, a horrible man to be around. It's not what he was saying. He wasn't that evil to where you had to watch your back or he was stealing from you. No, he was saying, when I got out the will of the Father, my days was evil. But he said there was few. And Yaakov blessed Pharaoh again. When? And went out from before Pharaoh. So he blessed them coming in and he blessed them leaving. That right there. Another. This is full of good stuff. Full of his goodness. So Yosef settled. That's the word I'm going to bring out. So Yosef settled his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Mizraim, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Yosef provided his father and his brothers and all his house, his father's household, with bread for the mouth of the little ones. Now, I'm pointing more to the spiritual sense of the bread. You know, we all need bread to help nourish and, you know, continue to do what we do. But the scripture also said, man shall not live by bread alone, which I'm going to read also. But it says, so Yosef settled. Why did Yosef settle his father and his brothers and give them possession of land? That was a long journey. And then a lot of stuff happened over the years. A lot of, you know, turmoil throughout this whole little family. This family was jacked up bad. So to settle, Yosef, Yaakov had to have been settled. Because look, he couldn't bless Pharaoh the way he blessed him going out and coming in if he wasn't settled with a lot of, in his own mind, with a lot of things that happened. Look, your sons lied to you. Man, that's heartbreaking for a dad. Not just an old little regular lie. They lied that his son was dead. The son that he loved the most, the scripture says. The son that he loved, he cherished this boy. So, you know, you think about that whole ride coming to Egypt. What must have been going on in Yaakov's mind? But in order for him to do what he had to do, he had to finally come to this spot where he says, and Yosef settled his father. All right, now I see Yosef is here. He's not dead. He's alive. He's prospering. He's wealthy. He's king over this thing, which I don't think Yaakov was looking for those things. He was just so happy that my son is alive. I get to see him. And the scripture says for 17 years. 17 years is when, not 17, he was 17 years old when they took him, when they, you know, they sold him. But how many years was he away from his father? 13 or 15? 13. And then he lived how many years in Egypt? Yaakov. 17. What the scripture says, that he will give back everything the cankerworm ate from you. He gave him back the years that Yosef was away from him, and he gave him a couple bonus years. So settled. When you see that in the strong in H 34:27, and that's Yashav. Right. To settled, to come and sit. A primitive root, properly to sit down. By implication, to dwell, to remain, to settle, to marry, make to, abiding, continue, dwell. And Bert Scott gave us all this last night. To place, remain, return, seat, set, sit down. And in the ancient Hebrew, in this pictograph, you see in the ancient Hebrew, that's turn and seat. And the picture shin is a picture of two front teeth representing pressing. The bet is a picture of tent. Combine these, meaning press to the tent. A place of dwelling as the place returned to. A turning back or away from someone or something. A captive is one turned away from a place of dwelling. And I highlighted this. It's this, and you know, they give you A, and they give you a little, a whole bunch of definitions if you're looking it up. And it says seat. The very first one, A, is seat. It says a returning to one's place of residence where one sit. A returning to one's place of residence where one sits. And I tell you what, there's nothing better. That's nothing that feels better. It's the best feeling in the world when you have left and turned away. But when you return back, he's there waiting for you. All week long, I felt, I'm telling y'all, I even text her. I text my wife. I said, I'm mad at texting in our little family group. I mentioned something about, you know, it's a wonderful feeling about whatever. And she wants detail. She's like, well, what you mean by that? I said, and, you know, sometimes I try to bypass all the mushy stuff because, you know, it makes me, I don't want to be so soft. I mean, you get it when I'm when I said it, but you know, she wants me to say it. So I said it. It's just his presence. Every morning so far, it's been every morning or every evening, no matter if it, you know, going or coming, I have felt. And she's like, "Oh, that's the good ones." And it is. It was the best. I haven't felt family meeting. I haven't felt his presence every day like that in a very, very long time. So every moment that he hit me, it was a weeping moment. Every single, look, in the crane, to where I'm in the crane and he's hitting me in the crane. I don't have my safety glasses and I'm not trying to, I'm sucking it in, I'm holding it in because I'm around a bunch of men. And what this crane I'm really crying for? They have no idea. I know what I'm crying for, but they wouldn't understand it. So I'm trying to hide. But listen, man, it's not a moment you want to hide. You want to embrace that. You want to retain those moments. I loved it. I loved this week. It was amazing. I had an amazing week, a wonderful week. He dealt with me so much that he let me know that I got you. I know you messed up, but you got to be settled. I got to be settled. That's not your identity. We got to take our identity back. We got to take it back. Go down. There's a definition on broken. To be broken into pieces. Unknown connection to root, broken. And Yehovah, he will break you. He will break you. He will get his point across to you one way or the other. And sometimes it takes to be totally broken. And that's what he did for me. He broke me. He broke me. Physically, spiritually, and moneyly. He broke me. He didn't break me. I broke myself in that department. But it says, look, Yah will not break you to position you. He will break you to put you in your right place. He's not breaking you to try to hurt you. He's not breaking you so people can laugh at you. He's not breaking you to humiliate you. He's breaking you because he loves you. He's breaking you to put you right back where you belong. Put you right back on the path where he put you at in the beginning. And when he doesn't hurt you when he's breaking you. He's not, you know, he ain't got a hammer and just tent. Well, I don't know, maybe sometime he might hit you with a good hammer. But he doesn't do it to hurt you. He doesn't do it to destroy you. You know what he does it for? Grace. Remember that book Brother Chad had with the five hands? Grace. I mean, them five fingers, that hand? That's when he does. He does it with grace. He does it because he loves you and he cares about you. Because, listen, his whole Torah is about preserving life. He don't want to see you die. He don't want to see you die and you know, there's no eternal life after that if you're not living right, if you're not in his covenant, if you're not being obedient to his word. That's why he breaks. He said, I'd rather break you than see you destroyed. I'd rather break you. This is what he's saying. I'd rather break you than seeing you destroyed. Captured. A forcible turning away from one's homeland to another place. Captive is captured and captive. And I'm so glad, so thankful that he captured me and brought me back to my homestead, where you need to be, where you belong. Gave me back, giving me back my identity one day at a time. You just got to stay faithful. Trust the process. Trust the process. But captured, captive, a forcible turning away from one's homeland to another place. Joseph felt that. He felt that spiritually and he felt that physically. He was captured and he was forced to leave his homeland. It wasn't willingly. It wasn't Yehovah saying, hey, Joseph, go jump in that pit and then somebody's going to come pull you out and then I'm going to sell you to the Ishmaelites or whoever he sold them to. No, he was forced to do that by his own family. And then if you go down a little further, another little definition in the letter J, it's to turn. A turning back to a previous state or place. Hence, remember I was going to say, you know, I was going to try to find these other little stories to put in here of his goodness or who he done this for, who he done that for. Well, look, everybody looking? Look who he done that for. Right here. A turning back to a previous state or place. This was the previous state or place. And he turned me right back to it. I'm so thankful. So thankful. Joshua 1:7-9. Only be strong and very courageous to guard, to do according to all the Torah which Moshe, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn. Do not turn from it right or left, so that you act wisely wherever you go. You only act foolishly when you're not turned in his way, when you're turning right or left. He's saying if you don't turn right or left, if you stay the course, if you stay straight, you're going to act wisely wherever you go. But if you're not, you're going to act a fool wherever you go. It says, but do not let this book of the Torah depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you guard to do according to all that is written in it. Notice, if you ain't meditating on it day and night, you think you're going to guard to do according to all that it is written? It'd be hard-pressed for me to believe it, that if you're not meditating on it day and night. You might, but guess what? You're going to be on a roller coaster ride. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. You're going to be up and down in his ordinances, in his way that you should be going. It says, have I not commanded you? Oh, for then you shall make your way prosperous and act wisely. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor be discouraged, for Yehovah your Elohim is with you wherever you go. And we've seen he told Yaakov that in 46. He said, hey, Joseph is coming. He says, go with him. I'm going to be with you wherever you go. I'm going to be with you in that sojourning land. I'm going to be with you in Egypt. The V, return, to turn back. Return, again, turn back, away. And this is my favorite, restore. Bring, render, answer, recompense, recover, deliver, put, withdraw, and requite. But I want to talk about restore. Restoration begins when you draw near, when we draw near to Yehovah. Vayagash. Vayagash is when he's drawing near. We draw near. So restoration begins when we draw near to him. And that is us approaching him. We can't just approach him in any way, in a proper way. There's a proper way to reproach Yehovah. And that's when restoration begins, when we draw near to him. Listen, restoration didn't begin for me and mine until I started drawing near to him. I had to draw near to him. The further I got away from him, the harder life got. And life got hard. Life got difficult. Life, there was no peace. But it's crazy how the flesh still wants to live in that nonsense. It's crazy. But restoration, when we draw near to him in a proper way. And you V is to sit. To set oneself down in the dwelling place for the night or for long periods of time. To settle or remain. Dwell, inhabit, sit, abide, inhabit, down, remain, in, tarry, set, continue, place, still, and taken. And there's a bunch of definitions. I'm not going to read them all. In the Brown Drivers Briggs, in H3427, the Yashav, the definition is to dwell, remain, sit, abide, to sit down, to cause to sit. Sometimes he will cause you to sit. He will make you sit. One way or the other, he will make you sit. You can run it hard as fast as you want, but he will get your attention. Whether sometimes it might even seem harsh. You might, might be in an accident, God forbid. Just using this as an example. You're running completely contrary to what he's doing. And he's trying to get you to sit, but you don't want to sit. So he'll make you sit. He'll cause these legs not to work. He'll sit. He'll get your attention. Now, you talking about sitting for a long time, sitting in the rest of your life. Somebody rolling you around. But, hey, if you look at that as a bad thing. But we can look at that as a good thing. Because you still got life. Even though he forced you to sit, what you do after that? You can preach from a wheelchair. Just so you know. Yeah. Whatever it takes. Sometimes. My brother made this statement last night, and I put it in my notes too. We as believers are to be settled. No ifs, ands, buts about it. We as believers, the God who created the heavens, the earth, established the heavens, created the earth, we ought to be settled in our walk, our speech, in our prayer, in our everyday life with Messiah Yeshua. Without him, we are unsettled and unstable like water. 100% accurate. Unstable like water when we're without him. God places Israel in the best land, yet keeps them distinct. This reflects a Torah principle. Provision must never erase distinction. Provision must never erase distinction. Yosef is not merely distributing food. He is shepherding life. He's foreshadowing the Davidic kingship and the messianic provision. And notice, we're going to read verse 12, I'm going to read it again. And Yosef provided his father and his brothers and all his household with bread for the mouth of the little ones. Who did? Yosef. Notice, the rejected one becomes the source of life. The rejected one. Look, you can't get, it fits the model of the Messiah so perfectly. It's crazy. Because Yeshua, the rejected one, became the source of life. And he just didn't give it to his brothers and his father and their brother. He gave it to the whole household, even the little ones. Just like Yeshua gave it to the little ones. The key word for bread is lechem. Said that pretty good. First time in 3 years. Meaning bread, food, sustenance, and provision. Not limited to baked bread, it represents all that sustains life. And bread, I'm going to skip down to this right here in Hebrew scripture, bread. Bread equals covenant faithfulness. And covenant faithfulness equals steadfast loyalty to a binding relationship. 10 already? Oh, man, I got a lot. And I was struggling. I'm like, man, Father, if you don't give me more than what I got, ain't no way I'm going to be an hour. But, man, here we go. Look, before you read that, let me show you right here. Let me get my demonstration on, because I made my, he told, he said, like, bake a bread. And then he had it going in my mind of how I was going to illustrate. Come see, Brother Scott. I'm going to do the running. You're not going to have to run. But Yeshua, he's got the bread. He's the bread of life, right? Uh-huh. And we're not settled. We're running. You stay right here. I'm not going to run. I'm just going to walk real fast. But Yeshua, he's the bread of life. But yet we know for some reason we're not settled. He's steady trying to give us that bread. He's steady trying to feed us the bread. But we're moving 100 miles an hour this way, that way. We're not settled. We're not in the yeshiva to sit where he wants us. So here he is chasing us, trying to feed us bread. I'm not going to make you run. But this is where he wants us at, right here. This is the bread. And this is how he wants us. He don't want us running. He's not going to run behind. He's not going to chase you. This is where he wants you sitting, right here, to where he can feed you this bread of life. Not sometimes, every single day. It's hard to eat bread. I guess I better run, Father. Yeah, I got to. He showed me. So, Yeshua's the bread of life and it's chasing you, right? He's trying to feed it to you. You ever ate bread? Trying to eat, it's got to be cut and sliced up because he's not going to give you a whole loaf because you're going to choke. You can't eat the whole loaf. You got to take a little. Almost bit. It's mine. Just a little piece. Just eat a little bit at a time. Don't try to eat the whole loaf. You can wonder. Impossible. Listen, we got to settle down. We got to sit. We got to come to the yeshiva and just be patient with him. And let him feed us. No matter if it's a little bit, we can't handle the whole loaf. I need some water. But that was my illustration because that's how I got it. He's like, you running, but I don't want you to run. I'm trying to feed you this bread, but yet you're going 100 miles an hour. Oh, thank you. Probably ain't going to get through these last 10 minutes. But that's how he showed me when he was dealing with me all week. He was just giving me these little things. You got to slow down. You got to stop. Can't give you bread. Can't give you the life that you need if you're running 6 hours. Okay. One second. That's some good bread. All right. I'm going to read this one right here. Bread equals covenant faithfulness. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. And Yehovah passes before him and proclaim, Yehovah, Yehovah, an El, compassionate and showing favor. Patient. So thankful that he's so patient. Because I needed patience. He knew I needed patience. That he needed patience for me. Not that I needed patience. But I do need patience. And great and loving commitment and truth. Watching over loving commitment for thousands. Forgiving crookedness and transgressions and sin. But by no means leaving unpunished. Visiting the crookedness of the father upon the children. And the children's children to their third and fourth generation. He's saying, look, I'm going to forgive everything you did. But always remember, there's a consequence for your actions. You're not going to go unpunished. I'm going to punish you because that's what a good father does. If you see your kids going in there, you're going to punish them. You're going to punish them. Not because you hate them. Not because you're trying to hurt them. No, because you love them. You love them that much because you don't want to see them go down that road. Especially if you've been down that road. If you went down that road and you know how hard it was for you to come back, because that's not 100% that they're going to come back. No, they're not guaranteed that. Some kids don't come back. They don't return back home. But he's saying, I'm going to punish you only because I love you, though. Only because I love you in the grace. Okay, I'm coming. Let me hurry up. The bread of, to give bread, to withhold bread equals judgment. So look, we getting all this goodness, all this bread, don't hold it. You see somebody, you share it. You share the good news. Because you withholding it, and he's telling you, you feel that nudge, your heart's going 100 miles an hour when you should say something, and you don't, judgment. He's going to judge it. I told you to say this. That was life to that person. You don't know what that person was going through that day. You don't know. I don't care if you just said, I love you to him, or I'm praying for you, or whatever. You don't know what that could have did to that person's life. But no, you held it back. Because, you know, the fruit's all for me. Oh, poor me. I'm struggling. I'm this. I'm that. It says he's going to, it's judgment. I end right here, sister, on the bread of life. To give bread equals mercy and life. And Yeshua, the bread of life. John 6:22. On the next day, the crowd that was standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one into which his taught ones had entered, and that Yeshua had not entered the boat with his taught ones, but his taught ones went away alone. But the other boats came from Kinneret, near the place where they ate bread after the master had given thanks. Therefore, when the crowd saw that Yeshua was not there, nor his taught ones, they themselves also entered into the boats and came to Kephar Nahim seeking Yeshua. And having found him on the other side of the sea, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Yeshua answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were satisfied. Do not labor for the food that is perishing, but for the food that is remaining. We're talking about the spiritual sense now. Yeshua done took it to a whole nother level. Don't worry about the food that's perishing, that's going to perish. He said, you worry about the food that is remaining to everlasting life, which the son of Adam shall give you. So they said to him, what should we do to work the works of Elohim? Yeshua answered and said to them, this is the work of Elohim, that you believe in him who sent him. So they said to him, what sign then would you do so that we see and believe you? What would you do? Our fathers ate the man in the wilderness, as it has been written, he gave them bread out of the heaven to eat. Therefore, Yeshua said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, Moshe did not give you the bread out of the heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread out of the heaven. For the bread of Elohim is he who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the whole world, to the world. So they said to him, Master, give us this bread always. And Yeshua said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not get hungry at all. And he who believes in me shall not get thirsty at all. The bread of life. Yeshua said, come to me, because this is I am. I'm the bread of life. He said, don't worry about, you know, food that's going to perish. He said, you get this spiritual. This is spiritual sense what he's talking now. He's talking spiritual. You get this spiritual bread because, listen, there's nothing more. Man can kill the flesh, but man can't kill the spirit. Man cannot kill the spirit. So we want to partake of this bread every. There's not a day go by that we don't want to eat this bread spiritually. Every day. I'll stop right there. My time card has been up. But this is good. And I'm so thankful for the bread of life. So thankful. I'm so thankful that he has restored, beginning to restore what he's appointed for my life and my family's life. And, you know, I told my wife the other day again, I was sharing just every time he was dealing with me pretty much, you know, whenever he was dealing, I was sharing with her what, you know, what I was feeling. And I said, something big. I don't know what big it is. I don't know what it is. I said, but that's what I'm feeling. Something big's going to happen. I'm waiting for my big, our big, waiting for it. Amen. He's good to us. So we're going to be settled in a lot of things today. Before we leave here, and I don't care what you got going on in your life or what you, the week you had, we're going to settle it today. We're settling it. He's good to us. He cares about it. He cares about our life, and he cares about everything. And also, not only our life, he cares about the little ones. Because he didn't just give it for, he don't say he just gave it, he gave it to the little ones too. He gave the bread. So not only is your bread getting for you, but if you got a kid, walk humbly before that, because they need you. They need us as parents. Amen. Just like we need him and just like we need her, like the word, like he calls it, him and her. Let's stand. Wow.